Okay, everybody. So today's daf is daf nun ches. We're holding the fourth line from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins. Rebbanoa have a kometzayin ma'arta. Now you remember that we had Rebbanoa already a couple of times yesterday, and so therefore the Gemara continues to tell us about Rebbanoa. And as we'll see, he was a brilliant individual. And one of the things that Rebbanoa used to do was he was mitzayin ma'arta. That means he went to various Mekoymais, where there were kvarim, and he made sure that there would be a tzion around them. They would build either small matzeva or a binyan or whatever, that people should know that this happens to be the mokoym of a nifter. And Rishbam explains, therefore, kehanim and people that are makbet to eat their chulin b'tahara or their truma, etc., they will avoid walking around that place so that they should not become tummy. That's how the Rishbam learns. However, as we'll see in our Gemara is focusing solely on the Ma'aris HaMachpelah, where of course we have the Oves HaKdoshim and Odom and Chava. And therefore, we have a similar Gemara in Bav Metzion Daf Pei Hei, where it says that Rish Lakish was Mitzayin Ma'arta Dirabonon. And there, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, together with Rishash, both say that the reason why Rish Lakish was Mitzayin Ma'arta was not just because of problems of Truma and Kodshim and Tumah V'Tahara, but rather because we want to know where the Mekoymos of the final burial places of Tzaddikim, so that one can be able to go Mispalel on Kivrei Tzaddikim. After all, we find by Kol ben Yifuna that he went, shall I say, off the derech with the 12 Meraglim, and he went over to Chevron to Mispal on the Kivrei Avos. So that they both say, Rabbi Yaakov Emden and Rishash, that in our Gemara too, Rebbanoa was not being Mitzayin the Ma'orois, particularly of Moris Machpelah, because of Truma and because of Kedusha and Tahara, but really because that people should know where the Kibri Tzaddikim are to be able to mispalo Aleim. Anyway, so Gemara tells us, Kimotam, now you should know, Rabbi Yisai, from here, over the next 10, 20 lines, is going to be quite esoteric. And therefore, the Rambam and others learn that these Gemaras should not be understood superficially, but rather in esoteric, Kabbalistic fashion. Since I'm on the Madrega to tell you what it says in Kabbalah, we'll learn it Poshep Shat. However, one should not understand it Poshep Shat. One should realize that there are very deep secrets of the Torah buried in this Gemara. So Gemara tells us, Kimot l'marta d'Avram, when Rebbanoa came to Moris Machpelah, and particularly the Mara of Avram Avinu, Ashkechei, he wanted to go in to measure the tzion of Avram Avinu to be able to put a proper matzeva on top, or at least some sort of tzion, a marker to indicate where the kever begins, where the kever ends. And he met Eliezer of Avram, de koi kami bava. Eliezer was standing around outside the door. Now you're going to wonder, how is Eliezer around? After all, this is quite a while later. Rebbanoa was among the Amiroim, and Eliezer Eved Avram, that's a couple of thousand years earlier. So Rishbam brings from Mesechtes Derech Eretz that there were Shiva Tzadikim Kayom Shleimesu, seven Tzadikim that never passed away, and one of them was Eliezer Eved Avram. So Eliezer Eved Avram was there, he is still the Eved of Avram, and he, Rebbanoa, wants to enter into the Ma'ara, and Omulei Maika Oved Avram, can I go in and visit, not that I want to visit Avram Avinu, but I want to go in to be able to go and measure the kever, to be able to put a tzion up above. Is Omalei, so now Eliezer says back to him, Goni bekanfa de Sarah, he's now lying in the arms of Sarah Imenu, the Koma'ayna le Beresha, and she is looking into his head, into his hair. Omalei, so Rebbanoa said to Eliezer, do me a favor, Zil Emalei, please go inside and tell him Banoa Koya Bava. Banoa is standing outside and wants to measure the Kvarim of Avram and Sarah, etc. Omale, so he told them, Leil, come on in. One could learn that Leil was being said by Eliezer. The art scroll says Leil means that Avram responded and said, Leil, let him come in. Why? Even though I and Sarah are lying in a position that L'chayra should cause people to have hear Hurim, may the idea, it is known and he knows, the Yetzbahai Al-Maleka, in the Oilema Emes, where I and Sarah are, there is no Yetzahara, and so therefore he has no reason to be concerned about seeing us in this position. Ayel, Itaka went in, Ayin, and then he was Ma'ayin, figuring out the measurements of the Kvarim of Avram and Sarah, as well as the other Ovois, the three Ovois and the three Imohis who are buried there, and then Benofek, and then he left. And now he wants to go to the Ma'ara of Odom HaRishai. It's Kimot Lema'ara, the Ma'arta, the Odom HaRishai, Yatzibasko, the Amra. Odom HaRishai, or Basko, came out and said, Nistakaltis Bidmius, Bidmus Diukne, Bidmus Atzma Al Tistakya. What's going on? We'll see in the Gemara shortly that Yaakov Avinu was extremely, extremely handsome, and his beauty was second only to Odom HaRishon. And therefore Odom HaRishon says, Rebano, you already were zoche to see Bidmus Diukni, meaning the Tzura, the Feitoyar of Yaakov Avinu, but Bidyukni Atzma, do not look at me Al Tistakya. Why shouldn't you look at me? Says Rishbam, because we know that Odom was created b'dmus elikim, and therefore looking at Odom Rishon is looking kaviyochel at the Rabbeinu Shloim himself, and therefore stay away. Said Rabbeinu, Habayina litziyuni ma'arta. I'm only here to do my job, and my job is to go and figure out the measurements of the ma'ara. So now, as we'll see momentarily, there was a very, very large ma'ara in which you had the three Ovis Akdoshim together with the three Imahois, of course, except for Sarah Imenu, except for Rochel Imenu. So those were in the first ma'ara, but the Odom HaRishon and Chav were buried in a second ma'ara. And as we'll see in the Gemara, there's a machloikis whether their ma'ara was in back of the big ma'ara of the six, the Ovis and the Imahois, or whether it was on bottom of the six. But the point of all of this is, since Rabbanu wanted to make sure that people do not get close to these kvarim, so therefore you have to go and measure not only the front ma'ara, but also the back one of Odom and Chava. So he said, I need to come in. Odom says, you don't need to come in. Kimidas rechitzoyne kach midas apnimius. The exact same size as the chitzoyne, that's the same measure as the pnimius. So whatever you have there for the chitzoyne, just adopt the same for the Panimius, you don't have to come in. Now that's, of course, according to Maniyama, that holds that they were parallel, and that all of this is based on the fact that the Torah refers to is Maras HaMachpelah. Machpelah, by definition, means kefil, or means double. So double means that either there was one set of kvarim in front of the other, or it was at one that they were two levels, first floor and second floor, so to speak. So we've explained that if they were both on the first floor, that you have the front and you have the back. According to the other Mandiyama that holds that Morris and Machpelah means that it was a duplex, upstairs and downstairs, then what Odom HaRishon told Rabbanu is you don't have to come down to see what's going on down below, because whatever measurements you have for up above, you have the same measures down below. So you don't have to worry that our crypt, our caver, sticks out in front a little, in the back, it's exactly the same underneath the top one. So now we see over here that Rabbanu was engaged in making a tzion around the Ma'arais. So the Iyun Yaakov says pshat, maybe that's the mokor of Rabbanu. And as Barry is always happy to go and share with us, the Maritz Chayis in Masechtas Bava Metzia says about Rabbi Yitzchak Migdoloa. Why did he get such a funny name, Rabbi Yitzchak Migdoloa? Because he told us halacha about
the matbeos in the shape of a migdal. is a siman to say that they belong to someone.
Exactly. That when you find matbeis one on top of the other, as opposed to scattered on the street, you can assume that it was not a situation of an aveda, but rather a situation of hinuach. Says Maritz Chayis, because Reb Yitzchak Midaloa doesn't come up every day in Shas, he became famous for his halacha about Migdal. So the Iyun Yaakov says, Rebano had another name, but he got the name Bano because he was bone tziyunim on ma'orois, on the kvarim of individuals, or in this case, on the ma'orois ha-machpeh. So that's how he got the name Bano, he was bone. Fine. Anyway, continuing the Gemara, Omer Bano, nistakalti v'shnei akevav, whilst I was there speaking to Adam Harishon, I didn't see Adam himself, I only saw the bottom of his heels, on the bottom of his feet. The doyim, and they were shining, l'shnei galgalei chama, like two beautiful suns. That's how glowing Adam Harishon was, because Adam Harishon was created b'tzelem elikim. And now the Gemara tells us, hakol b'fnei sara kekoif b'fnei Adam, sara b'fnei chava kekoif b'fnei Adam, chava b'fnei Adam kekoif b'fnei Adam, Adam b'fnei shchina kekoif b'fnei Adam. We're talking about the cluster upon him, the facial features of all of these individuals, and we're saying that Sara Imenu was very, very pretty, and nevertheless, her facial features compared to Adam, compared to Adam, it was like a koif, it was like a monkey. Sara Bifni Chava.
Compared to Chava.
I'm sorry. Hakel Bifni Sara. Sorry again. Hakel Bifni Sara. Anybody compared to Sara. Sara Imenu was so beautiful. Any other person in the world compared to Sara was Kekoif Bifni Adam, was like a monkey in front of either Adam or Rishon or in front of a person. Sara Bifni Chava. Thank you, Barry, for the assist. Sara Bifni Chava. Sara in front of Chava, Chava being the wife of Adam Arishon, even though Sara Imenu was so gorgeous, nevertheless, compared to Chava, was Kikoif Bifnei Adam. Again, like a monkey compared to a human being. Chava, who was so beautiful, Bifnei Adam, Kikoif Bifnei Adam. Chava, compared to Adam Arishon, was also still number two after Adam, who was like a koif, like a monkey, Bifnei Adam. And Adam, Bifnei Shechina, Kikoif Bifnei Adam. No matter how beautiful and how glowing Adam was compared to the Shechina, right, it's like a monkey. And similarly, the Gemara tells us, Shufri de Rav Kahana, Me'in Shufri de Ravo. Rav Kahana was very, very, also a very handsome individual, and his beauty, his being handsome, was Me'en, was similar to Rebavo. Wasn't Mamish Rebavo, but was similar. Shufri de Ravo, Me'in Shufri de Yaakov Avinu. Shufri de Yaakov Avinu, Me'en Shufri de Adam Arishon. So that's the reason why we said a moment ago that Adam Arishon said to Rebano, you looked at the Mustiyukni, someone who looks similar to me, that's Yaakov, but don't look at me, Yukni Atzma Al Tastakel, because the ponim of Adam Arishon, his whole body, etc., was all me'ein that of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because he was created with Tzelem Elokim, so therefore, don't look. Okay, so that's the end of that part of the story, and now the Gemara tells us another story, also dealing with Niftarim. Hahu Amgusha. Amgusha is a Mechashef, someone who engages in black magic. To have a Chotet Shichvi, he would go around
in Magus.
I'm sorry?
Where's Magus, as in magic?
Magus. Amgusha comes from magic?
Magus, and that's the Amgusha.
Aha. Thank you, David. So you're saying that the word Amgusha is related to the word magic. Beautiful. Shkoyach. So this, but not magician like we have today, that just does things with sleight of hand. We're talking about black magic, so to speak. Anyway, so who Amgusha dava chotet shichvi? He would go to kvarim, he would dig up bodies to go and strip them of their clothes. And he motem ma'ar to Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, when he came to the ma'or of Rav Tuvi Bar Masna. So Rav Tuvi Bar Masna did not want to be stripped of his tachrichim. So Tofsei, Agmar has Tofsei B'dikne, however the Bach takes it out, and you'll see in a moment why he takes it out. So Tofsei Rav Tuvi Bar Masna grabbed hold of this Amgusha and would not allow him to budge. Osa Abaye came on the scene. Rishbam says Abaye was a friend of that Amgusha, of that Goy. And Omalais, Abaye asked Rav Tumi Mamasna for a favor. Matusa Minach, I beg of you, Shavke, do me a favor, let go of the Amgusha, and hopefully he will change his ways. He'll do tshuva. Fine, so he let go, and Shavke. Shonachrit, a year later, unfortunately, the Samgusha was old to his old. He was up to his old tricks. Hadar Asa, he came back again to the caver of Rav Tumi Bar Masna, and this time Tavse B'dikne, he chapped him on his beard. Asa Abaye, and again Abaye asked him, do me a favor, let go. Leishavke, he would not let go of the beard of this Amgusha. Ah, the icy Mispara, until Abaye had to run and get a misparayim, meaning a scissors, Gaza the Dikne, and then he cut the beard off of the Amgusha so that he was able to be freed from the clutches of Rav Tumi Bar Masna. That's presumably the reason why the Bach takes out the Bedikne the first time, because he could have cut the beard the first time. Anyway, regardless, then the Amgusha was able to flee. Now we're going to get back again to Rebbe Noa and show the tremendous chokhmah of Rebbe Noa. Says Yimar, Hu di Amalahu. Chavita di Afra lechad beroi, chavita di Garmi lechad beroi, chavita di Udra lechad beroi. Person left over three sons, and he's splitting up his estate. And he's saying, I leave a chavis, it's a barrel, the Afra of earth, lechad beroi, for one of my sons. Chavita di Garmi, a barrel full of bones, lechad beroi, for another son. And chavita di Udra, a barrel of Udra. Udra means stuffing. Fabric that you use to go and stuff, for instance, pillows and cushions and down blankets and things of that nature. In other words, odds and ends of cotton and wood and wool that you use for stuffing. So the question was that lechad beroi for my third son. This person left it as his last will and testament, and he passed away. And now the family says, I don't know what he's talking about. We looked among his barrels. We didn't find any barrels of any soil or of any bones, etc. So, well, what was he talking about? So, also, come to Rabbi Noah. They went in front of Rabbi Noah. Omelu, Rabbi Noah says, let me ask you, Islechu Ara, did your father leave over any real estate? Armelayan, yes, he did. Islechu Chiyusa, did he leave over any livestock? In, yes, he did. Islechu Bistarki, do you have any clothing that your father left? In, yes. So that's exactly what he meant. So Rishbam explains that the person who passed away didn't want everybody in town to know that he was a wealthy individual. He kept a very low profile. So he didn't want to go and say, I leave all my real estate to Reuven, and I leave all of my livestock to Shimon. So therefore he said a bederech remez. The offer is referring to real estate, that's soil. The garmi, the bones, are referring to the livestock, to the animals. And the udra is referring to all the begodim that he left behind. And therefore, that's how he divided up among the three. So Rabbi Noah was able to understand this code language. Similarly, says
he... So he did it, yeah, Matana, this wasn't done there after Yerusha, in general, where he split it this day, before and Rishayim, and so this is sort of like he was...
It could be that in vis-a-vis the rest of the estate, he left it, as you say, for Bechor Pishnaim and the others, that they had a single chalik, but he made specific bequests of the real estate to one and the livestock to the other. Also, as you know, if there's a bas tchila, then there is no din of Bechor. So for all we know, maybe there was a daughter over here that does not get any Yerusha min HaTorah, and that takes away any problem of a Bechor because of the fact that all the boys are all Pshutim. In fact, one of the Pshutim in the Gemara, but we're going to have in Bava Basra later on, that Koflamitz, Kofmems, the Gemara is going to say that Bas Chila Simin Yafel Labanim, and I'm sure you've heard already 1,000 different drushes in Pshutim, but one of the Pshutim is Bas Chila, you know why it's Simin Yafel Labanim? Because then there won't be any wrangling among the Yorshim when the father passes away. Because since she is the Bechaira, everybody else will be Pshutim. There won't be a Bechar to take a double shear. So there won't be any Kinnabasinah. That's one of the Pshutim in Bas Chila, Simen Yafel Abanim.
Where's that Gemara
It's here in Baba Basra. We're going to get to it. It's in the Kuf Lamed or Kuf Mems. So we still have the. No, we haven't learned it yet. I think it's Kuf Lamed. Hey, it's somewhere around there. It's I believe it's.
It's often quoted.
It's either, yeah, you know, for sure, and especially any time a person has a girl first. But the Bapshat that I just told you, it's either in the Rashi or in the Marsha. This is not a recent Drasha. This, it says Befeish that Pshat of Baschila, then you don't have a problem with the Yerusha.
But even so, with the Yerusha, still, you don't have, if he was giving this separately, he had it, wasn't in Yerusha, he must have given his request before he
passed away. It could very well be. It could very well be that, in fact, he gave a matana, which should be chal a minute before he passed away, and then you don't have a problem or any issues with Yerusha, because it's chal whilst he was still alive. Kontakazai. Anyway, continuing on Gemara, another story. Ahu gavra de shamla de bisu de ka'omra de brata. This is a terrible story that the Gemara tells us, that a person overheard his wife speaking to her daughter. And she said to her daughter obviously, we'll see from the Gemara, was not a lady of the paradigm of tznius. And she said to her daughter, amai le tznius bi isura, when you want to do your isurim. And the issa that we're referring to is that Chas v'Sholom, she was committing znus, adultery, with strangers. So at least do it quietly. The whole world doesn't have to talk about it. It doesn't have to be in the papers. They don't have to talk about it among all the gossipers. Hachitza, now the mother is telling the daughter, this woman, meaning she's talking about herself in the third party, Asora Bani Isla has 10 sons, and only one of them is from your father. The other 9, unfortunately, are the product of strangers, meaning that they're all mamzerim. So this was a private conversation she was having with her daughter, and little did she know her husband overheard this conversation. We don't know what he did to his wife, but we do know that eventually he passed away. Kishach, when he passed away, Omulahu, he said to the mishpacha, Kol nechasai lechad barah, I'm giving all of my nechasim to my single son. Meaning, because I just heard from mommy that the other 9 sons are not mine. They're other people. So the one that's really mine, he should get the Yerusha. Of course, the obvious question is, but which one of the 10 was the real son? They didn't know which one was the real son. So what do you do? They came in front of Rabbanah. I have an etzer for you. Zilu chavoitu kivra de avuchain. All of you 10 sons, go out to the kivra of your father and start banging on the coffin. Chavoitu means to bang and to hit the kivra of your father. Ad de koi, until he gets up. In other words, there'll be so much commotion, so much noise, he's going to wake up. Umegal lechu, he's going to tell you which one he had in mind of the 10. Umegal lechu. L'hai minaychu shafka. For which of the 10 sons he left the Yerusha. Kind of a strange Eitzah, but guess what? Of the 10 sons, Azlu Kulu, 9 of the 10 went out to the caver and started banging away. This kind of reminds you a little bit about the Solomonic split, right? The Solomonic compromise. Azlu Kulu, Hahu Debrei, however, the real son, the Hahu Debrei Hava, the one that was his real son, Lo Azlu did not go. Why didn't he go? Says Rishbam, very simply. The other 9 are mamzerim, and therefore in their DNA as mamzerim, they act in a very brazen, chutzpahdik way, and they'll go and bang the kever of their supposed father. However, the 10th one, he was a real son, a real Jewish kid. He wasn't a mamzer, and therefore he didn't have that brazenness, he didn't have that chutzpah, and he says, I'm staying home. Oh! Omulahu, kula nechse the high. All of the nechasim go to that tenth that didn't go to bang the caver, because he is obviously the real son, right? It's by Shlomo Melech, you have the same thing with the 2 women, you have something similar. Anyway, says the Gemara that the other 9 were not happy with the psak, because obviously that means that they were disinherited. Is ozlu ochlu kurtzbe malka. The term kurtzbe malka is an expression to say that they said now Lashon Hara or Moitzi Shemra, or in English they snitched, and they snitched to the police and to the attorney general, whatever. Amrin, they said, Ikagavra Chab Yudoi, there's one Jew among the Jews, the Mapik Mamoina an Inchi, that he is extracting money from people, Beloy Sahadi, without any aid and without any witnesses, and the Bach changes it, Ubeloy Raya, and without any evidence whatsoever. And therefore, what he's doing is it's criminal. He's acting like a Dayan, and he's taking out money from the pockets of those who own the money, who are entitled to it. Anyway, the police heard that Asiyu, they grabbed him, they took him, Chavshu, and they put him in jail. So now, Mrs. Banor wants Rabbanor to get free. So what did she do? Azla Debisu, that's the Rebbetzin Banor, Omrahu, so she went back to the same police or the same judges, whatever. Av the Chad Havali, she said now, B'derech Moshel, I had an Ebed, Poskul Reishe, some Ganovim came, and they cut off his head, U'poshul Mashche, and then they took, or they skinned Nebuch the skin off of him. And what did they do with that skin? As we'll see in a moment, they made out of it canteens, like leather canteens from human skin. V'achul b'Yisrei, and then they ate up the flesh. V'kamolu b'Mai, and they took that leather canteen and they would fill it with water. U'mashku b'Lechavrai, and they would go and not only use it for themselves, they would even go and give it and offer it to their friends. V'lekehavali domi v'leagre, and they didn't pay me for it, and they don't give me any rental fee. Gunished. They stole my Eved, killed them, ate up the basar, using the skin for canteens, and I didn't get a penny. This is what she reported to the authorities. Lo yadi maika amrdahu. They didn't understand, what is she talking about? You take an Eved, you kill him, and you take the flesh, and you're mad. The whole thing sounded quite bizarre. As Amri, so they said, you know what? Leisel chakim ed yudoi. Let's go and bring the Jewish chacham, meaning Rebbano. They apparently didn't know that this was the Rebbetzin Bano. They said, let's go and ask Rebbano, what's the pshat in what she's talking about? Falema. Karyul Rebbano, they thought he called Rebbano. Omulahu, and he said to them, what she is saying is Zarnuka Omulahu. Zarnuka is one of these types of leather pitchers, and that's what she was talking about. In other words, that it wasn't an Eved, but rather it was, Rishbam says, a Tayish, a young animal from the sheep goat family, and she went, and that's what she was referring to, that Kanovim stole that Tayish and then ate up the flesh, and then others killed it and ate up the flesh, and then used the hide, the skin, to make a zanuka. Amri, so the authorities were so impressed. We see such a chacham. Instead of sitting in jail, you know what, we should appoint him to be a judge. Let him sit at the gates of the town, of the city, and anybody that needs any dayan, he should be the judge. Chazaso, as he's sitting there next to the Sha'arei Ho'ir, next to the gates, he saw the Aviksiv Ba'avula. It was written on the gates that Kol Dayan, the Miskri Ledin, Lo Yishmei Dayan, any dayan that is summoned as a defendant in a din Torah, in a litigation, he is not a dayan. And even Rashi and Chumash talks about that Yisroi and Moshe Rabbeinu tried to find Soinei Botza. And the definition of the Soinei Botza is that they are never suspected of having taken money Shaloi Kedin, and therefore, since they're above suspicion, they can be appointed as judges, and we don't have to worry about someone giving them a bribe. So that's what it said there on the big, big sign on the doorway, on the gateway to this town, that Kol Dayan, any Dayan who is summoned to a din, to the court as a defendant, Lo Yishmei Dayan, obviously if he is no longer above suspicion, and therefore he cannot be a Dayan, because who knows, if he becomes a Dayan, maybe he will go and take Shaychat.
So, question.
Yes, Shelley.
So, if they use the hide of an animal, where did they hide the Eved?
Ooh, wow. Anyway, the Eved, as you know, is Derech Moshel, and he was referring to the animal that was the one that was decapitated and used for Zanuka, for the leather canteen. But thank you very much for your insight. So, Dr. Gemara, Omalahu, Sir Rabbi Noah said, Elamayata, based on what it says in this sign, Os Inishmi Alma, Umazbin Ledina Pasle. I have a wonderful idea. what happens if I don't like a particular judge? And maybe I have a case in front of that judge. I'm going to eliminate him as being a judge because I'm going to go and sue him in court. And even if afterwards it turns out that he's Yotzei Zakai, says Rishbam, top line, he comes out totally innocent. But this way I'll be able to disqualify him just by the fact that he was named as a defendant. Boom! Disqualify the judge. Therefore, you'll be able to disqualify any competent, qualified, honest judge by just summoning him to court. And therefore, he said, rather you should change it. El Kodayin de Miskri Ledin, Umafkin Mine Mamoina Bedin. Not only that he's called to court, summoned as a defendant, but that he loses the case and they extracted money from him Bedin. That is Lav Shmei Dayan. That's the person that should be disqualified as a Dayan. So in fact, Kosvu Hachi, they added an addendum to what was originally written. I don't know why they didn't just amend or revise what was written, but they added an addendum and they said, Baram. However, Sabi Diudoi, the great Chochem among the Jews, Amri, he said, that Koldayin de Miskri Ledin, Umafkim Minayim Amoyne Bedin, Lav Shmei Dayin. In other words, they left the original inscription and they just added that Sabi Diudoi threw in that he's also got to be the loser in the litigation. Now, Vaiti, he saw another sign or another inscription. Chozeh Dechsiv, Barosh Kol Moise Ano Dam. Barosh Kol Chayin Ano Chamar. What does that mean? Barosh Kol Moise, the top of your, the chief reason for Moise, for Chas V'Shalom, people passing away, is because of Dam. Because they had too much blood in their veins and their arteries, and they didn't allow for sufficient bloodletting. If they would have let out more blood, he wouldn't have died. So the chief cause of death is too much blood. Nowadays, of course, the idea of bloodletting is kind of ancient, but that's because we have today all the different types of medicines, blood pressure pills, that are either for people that have high blood pressure or low blood pressure. But in the good old days, they didn't have those pills, so the chief reason for passing away for Misa was that. Faket, Barosh Kol Chayim, the chief reason for people surviving and thriving and living long lives, was Chamer, because they would drink a lot of wine. That's what it said on the inscription. And now Rabbi Noah said, Elamayatif, based on what you're telling me, Denofel me Igra Umis, Udenofel me Dikla Umis. What happens if Chas V'Shalom somebody falls off of the roof, or he falls off of a decal of a tree, Umis, and he dies? Damakatle, will you say that the chief reason for his death was because he had an overabundance of blood? Nothing to do with blood. Nebuchadnezzar was a terrible accident. Vesu, Mindadarke Lamemis. What happens if Chas V'Shalom, someone is a Shchivmara on his deathbed? Mashkele Chamra V'chaya. Are you going to go and give him wine and that'll be the magic potion and we'll have Tchias Amesim? Elohochi by the Mechtav. Rather, what you should write instead is not Baroish Kol Moise Anodam, Baroish Kol Marin, that the chief reason for all illnesses, for all sickness, is Anodam, is because people are not regulating their blood pressure properly. Baroish Kol Asvan, the chief among the medicines to keep people alive and to thrive, is Ano Chamor, is wine. So a person that takes a healthy diet of wine on a regular basis, that will keep him alive and thriving and surviving. And we had a Gemaris earlier that our Chamra, when I say our, this is already, Toysis says that the Chamra that he had, or even the Gemara said it, that the wine that they had in their time, the Gemara, was not as good as the wine from previous generations. So therefore, Lav Dafka today, is it such a mala to go and drink wine? So therefore, they should go and change the inscription, Barosh Kol Marin. And in fact, they added an addendum. What did they write? Kosvo Hochi, Baram, Sabi Yudoi, Amri, not Barosh Kol Moise, Barosh Kol Marin, that the chief reason for a lot of illnesses is Ano Dam, is blood, Barosh Kol Asvon, chief among remedies, Ano Chamar, drink a lot of wine, that's a healthy diet, and that'll keep you healthy. However, Basar Teles Chamar, what happens if you come to a town that they do not have wine? Tamon Mitfu Saman, and there you have to make sure that you go to the drugstore and that they have drugs and they have medicines to be able to act as a medical remedy. With this, we have concluded the fascinating discussion about Reb Bano'a. And since we talked about inscriptions at the gates of a city, we throw in one more, unrelated to what we were talking about. Ksiv ba'apischa de Kaputkai. Kaputkai is the name of a place. And in the gates or the door opening to Kaputkaya, they had an inscription, Anpak Anbag Antol. What are these? Says Reshbam, that the inscription was telling everybody that these three are all synonyms, that they are all measures of liquid. An Anpak, an Anbag, and an Antol are all the same measure. Says Reshbam, why is the Gemara telling us this? Then just in case you went into a store and you asked for an Anpak lemushal of wine, you should know if instead of giving you an Anpak, it gives you an Anbag or an Antol, those are all the same things. They all mean the same thing. But now you're wondering, what is that measure? Vezo Antol. So Revius Shel Teira. That's the Revius that you require for various mitzvahs of the Torah. So now, what Revius Shel Teira comes to mind? So the Rishbam says it's referring principally to the Arba Koisis that we drink at the Seder. That every one of the Arba Koisis has to be a shear of a Revius. So if you need a kos and you're going to the store where they sell koisis, and they say, well, we don't have a Revius, but we can give you an Anpak or an Anbag or an Antol, all those terms are synonyms and those are all fine. But then the Rishbam says, but that we drink Arba Koisis, that is not one of the Tariq Mitzis, that's not a Din D'Oraisa, that's a Din D'Rabbana. So why does the Gemara call that a Revius Shel Teira? Therefore the Rishbam says, Avad it's Midrabbanan. However, the Rabbanan were Masmich it Akra, like you have Asmachta. And what are the Kra? The famous four Lishonis of Geula, Vaitzesi, Vietzalti, Vigalti, Vakachti, that's to commemorate and to celebrate those four symbols of freedom. That's why we have the four koises, and each kois has to be a revius, and that's why we call it revius shel Torah, because of the asmachta based on those four lishoinis in the Torah. But then the Rishbam says it could also mean revius shel yain lenozer, that the nozer is now let it go and drink wine, like you have in Parshas Nosoi. What is the minimum amount that he's over the isser of drinking wine? That would be a revius. Of course, he's now let it even drink less than that, because Chotzi Shir is awesome in a Torah. But to go and get Malkis and all the rest for a violation of his Naziris, it has to be a Revius or more. So that's the Revius Shel Torah. And the Rishbam says, look up in Masechtis Chulin, Masechtis Nozir, and there they have 10 Revius in Min HaTorah, not only what we just discussed, the Nozir, but other Shiurim as well, where the Shir is a Shir Revius. Okay, anyway, that's how...
What
you're saying is absolutely correct. I think it's the Gemara beginning of Erevin that lists all of these seven, and the Gemara brings this Eretz Chitas Oira. So the Gemara says over there that truly all the Shi'urim are Lachal HaMoshe Misinai. Because nowhere in the Torah does it give you a share of a Kazayis or a Revius or all those. But they were Masmechit on these seven. On the Chit and Sa'ir and the Geffen. Geffen, in fact, the Gemara says, is Taka a Revius. And you mentioned Rimoin. Rimoin is that a Kli. A Kli Balabatim, exactly. As long as it has a small little hole, you can still use it for things. But once it becomes a hole as large as a Rimoin, then typically a balabas would toss it because it no longer has any utility. So that kli, once it has a shmir, kemoitzerimayim, becomes tohar, it's no longer a kli. That's so Rishbam said that these three are all just synonyms, they're all exactly the same. The anpak, anbag, antel. The second toisis says, however, not exactly like that. If you look at the second toisis, the third line at the top of the omit, anbag, anpak, antel, imer, reber, b'chaim, to anbag, the anpak came mashkin de refua. They are a particular potion that people used to use for refua. Vahinu asparagus. That also has a name, asparagus. It's not the same as asparagus, because asparagus is the name of a vegetable, but asparagus was the name of a potion or a food. The Omar, like it says in Perek Labasar, Anpak asparagus, Shiofla Lev, it's good for the heart, Kinemashma, etc. Vachik Omar, Hocha. Our Gemara is saying, Masha Koyrin, Anbag vi Anpak. Anybody that wants to go and drink an Anbag or Anpak, which are the names of potions, medical potions, Tzarech L'shtoyzei Kishir Antel, they should drink the shir of an Antel Shehu Revias. Aha, so therefore, the Anpak and Anbag are not synonyms for a Revias, but rather these are the names of two medical potions, or at least potions that have medical qualities to them. How much should you drink? An Antel. And how much is an Antel? That's a Revias. Okay, so Machloikas Rishbam and Toises exactly in the Pshat. Look the Mishnah weiter. Now we're going to continue back to our favorite topic of Cheskes Habatim. How do you develop a chazaka? And certain things you have a chazaka, certain things you cannot develop a chazaka, as we'll see in the Mishnah. Look at the Mishnah. Hamarziv. A marziv we normally refer to as a drain. In this case, as we'll see momentarily, it's a leader. A leader in the form of gutters and leaders. For those of you that are not totally familiar, you typically have two drain pipes that are attached to houses, because you don't want water to accumulate on the roof. So next to the roof, they have a gutter. Gutter is the horizontal pipe that goes from one end of the building to the other end. And then coming down from that, you have a vertical pipe, which is called the leader. And the horizontal pipe, the Mishnah is going to call in a moment mazchila. That's the horizontal, the long one that is against, that is next to the roof of the building. And the smaller one, the shorter one, is the marziv, that's the vertical one that's coming down. There's a major difference between marziv and maschila lahalocha. Our Mishnah says a marziv, the reason why, by the way, it got the name marziv, says Rishbam, because it's a contraction of two words. The word mar means a drop of water, and he brings the pasuk in Yeshaya, kimar midli. A mar means a drop of water, and zov means that it flows. So you want the waters to flow through the gutters and the leaders and flow to the ground and not damage the physical structure of the building. So the mars of these leaders, ein lechazaka. If a person has his leader and it's flowing water into his neighbor's property, even though he's been doing that for the last 3 years or more, he does not develop a chazaka. The reason why he doesn't develop a chazaka, explains Rishbam, is because the neighbor can tell him, I don't mind that you have drain water draining onto my property, but I don't want it at this angle. Do it at another part of the property. And explains Rishbam that the leaders, I don't know how they are constructed today, but at least in the times of Chazal, they were movable, mobile. And the important thing is he wanted to get the water away from the roof. And although the gutter stays in place, it's attached to the building and stays in place, the horizontal pipe. However, the vertical pipe that draws the water and drains the water from the horizontal pipe, you can put that at either end of the maschila, of the gutter. You can put it to the right, you can put it to the left, or to Tzafoin or to Dorin. And so therefore, if your next door neighbor sees that you have it draining from one side, he can always say, can you do me a favor? Can you move it to the other side? I know you need to drain the water. We all need to drain the water from our roofs. We don't want to have leaks and all the rest. But it doesn't have to be at this end of your maschila of the gutter, but on the other end. So, therefore says the Mishnah, even if he had it at one particular end for a number of years, even more than 3 years, the neighbor can come by after 3 years and say, do me a favor, move it to the other side. And he doesn't develop a chazaka where he can say, no, it's been here for 3 years, it's staying on this side. No, the neighbor can ask him to change it to the other side. The Yeshlem Koyme Chazaka, even the marziv itself doesn't have a chazaka, but it's mokim where it rests, where it stands, that there is a chazaka. Now that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. And the Gemara is going to ask that kasha as soon as we start the Gemara, what it means marziv doesn't have chazaka, but its mokim does have a chazaka. And as we'll see, Mitchum, we're going to give three answers to that question. The maschila, that's the gutter part, that's the horizontal pipe. Yesh lechazaka, that there is a chazaka if it there next to the person's building now for the last 3 years. The neighbor can't say, please take the maschila away, because that's maschila is letting water drain into the leaders. Take the maschila, put it on the other side of your roof. Once it's been there for 3 years, he has a chazaka. Now, similarly, if you have a sulam ha-mitzri, sulam, of course, is a ladder. Mitzri means that it is short. Mitzri probably means it comes from Mitzrayim, but lav dafka. The important thing that it's short, so it's more like a step stool and not a tall, tall ladder. So that ain't loy chazaka. Even if you've had that out for the last 3 years in your courtyard, in front of, for instance, your shoivach, in front of your dovecot, or in front of your chicken coop, or whatever, ain't loy chazaka, because since it's so short, at any time the neighbor can say, can you move it out of here, move it to the other side, causing tsuris over here. So even if it's been there for more than 3 years, it's not a dover kavua, it's this short little ladder, no chazaka. However, Tzuri, if it comes from the city of Tzur, Tyre, T-Y-R-E, then it was a big, heavy-duty ladder, quite like 10 feet tall, these tall, tall ladders. If you leave it in the common chotzer, then yesh lechazaka. Then the next-door neighbor should complain within 3 years and say, hey, you know, this huge ladder over here, this is infringing on everybody's property, people want to pass through, come, go, blah, blah. So if you leave it there for 3 years and nobody complained, then yesh lechazaka. Because then it has a status like a permanent thing and not just a metalklin that you move out of the way. Similarly, chaloina mitzvahs means if you have a window which is very, very, very small, and the purpose of that window is to peer out onto your field to make sure there are no ganovim and there are no chayis, behemoths that are coming and eating or tearing away some of your tvua, some of your vegetables. So it's so small, ein lo chazaka. The next door neighbor, even if you've had it there for the last 5 years, more than 3 years, the next door neighbor can say, you know what, can you do me a favor, make the hole somewhere else and close up this hole. However, the tzura says, ah, big chaloin, then yesh lo chazaka. Then the next door neighbor should complain and say, hey, you know, there's problems of hezekria and all that. How would you define the size of a chaloina mitzvah? It's so small that a person's head cannot fit through that hole. Very small. If it has a frame made out of malbein is typically the bricks, levenim, so it has a frame from all four sides, then, because that means it's more of a permanent window by the fact that you put a frame around it. So, then there is a chazaka after all. Fine. Zotimar, we started off the Mishnah with the Marzev. We said, Marzev ain't le chazaka, yesh le mekayim chazaka. What does that mean? Maya Marzev ain't le chazaka, yesh le mekayim chazaka. Three pshatim. Pshat number one, Amr Vira Meshmul Hachikomar. Hamarzev ain't le chazaka miruach, achas v'yesh le mekayim chazaka mishtei ruchais. What happens? You have your Marzev, which is again protruding and leading from the gutter on top, and you happen to have it on the northern end of your maschila. So even though it's been there for 5 years, more than the 3 years, the next door neighbor could say, no, I want you to go and move it away from that ruach achas and move it to the other side. Let it not be on the northern side, let it be on the southern side. Even if it drains onto my field, but it's not good where it's draining, because over there I want to plant something, I want to build something. Let it drain somewhere else. So therefore, the original owner of the Marzev, he cannot say, no, it's been draining here already for 3 years, I have a chazaka. He's got to move it. However, yesh lo mekayim chazaka mishtei ruchais. But he does have a chazaka to place it on the southern side instead of the northern side. In other words, the next door neighbor cannot tell him, I don't want this leader anymore, move it out of here totally. That you don't have. If he's been draining for 3 years at the northern end of the gutter, the next door neighbor can say, please move it over to the southern end, but he cannot go and say, after 3 years, move it away totally, I don't want it draining anymore on my property, next to my property. That he cannot do, because that's what he's saying. that the owner of the marzev, he has at least a chazaka to place it somewhere on his property. Fine, not to the north, it'll be to the south, it'll be to the middle, it'll be to the east, somewhere, but he has a chazaka for somewhere. So that's pshat number one. Pshat number two, Rav Chanina Omar, ha-marzev in the chazaka, shem hoya oruch mekatzroi. What happens? You have a leader, and the leader is quite long. We don't mean in the vertical sense, but we mean that after it does the vertical, now at the end, you know, if you ever owned a house, if you have ever looked at these things, the leaders typically are in the form of L-shaped or Nun-shaped, whichever way you like, so that it has the long vertical coming from the roof or coming from the gutter going down, and then it has on the bottom a little bit of a pipe that's horizontal once again, which like the bottom of a nun or the bottom of an L. Okay, so that can be longer and it could be shorter. The point is he wants to drain the water away from his house, so very often you're going to make it longer so the water goes further away. However, that may be disturbing your neighbor. So the neighbor can go and say, even after 3 years, you have no chazaka, and I want you to go and cut it. Until now, the bottom of this leader is twice a foot long. Please cut it down to 6 inches. That he's allowed to do. That's what we mean, ein lechazaka. If the next door neighbor says, I don't care, 3 inches, 6 inches, 12 inches, out of here. I don't want it at all. He does not have to remove it because he has a chazaka since it's been draining on the other guy's property for over 3 years. Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba Omar, third pshat, hamarzav ein lechazak shem roitz livnois tachtav boina. Just because you have the right to go and have your leader drain on the other person's property, that doesn't mean that you're taking over the airspace and the land down below where the water is pouring out and draining from your leader. So that if the next door neighbor decides one day that he wants to build some sort of structure where that leader is leading out from the gutter, he certainly has the right to go and put up a structure underneath that marziv. I guess he'll have to make sure that he constructs it in a way that the flowing drain water doesn't disturb that structure. But if he wants to build something, right to live in his tachta, binding is tight. If he says, I want to go and build a building over here, which is going to be several stories, and as a result, your marziv is going to have to fly the kite, you're going to have to take it away because it's interfering with my building, and you know you can't have the marziv in the building in the same place, then that he cannot do, because since the other person has the drain there already for 3 years, he has a right to continue having the drain there. But if you want to build underneath it, no problem, as long as it doesn't disturb where the marziv is. So we had three pshat. So now, Tanan, top of Nun Tesamid Aleph, Tanan HaMaschila Yesh LeChazak. Maschila, remember, is the next part of the Mishnah. That's the gutter part. Not the leader, but the gutter. There you do have a chazak. According to the first two pshatim, Shapir, I can understand, although the marziv does not have a chazaka, however, the maschilah does have a chazaka. The Rishbam explains, because the first two pshatim are all based on, you don't have a kvius when it comes to the marzev, because you can go and the next door neighbor can say, move it from the north, move it to the south of the maschilah. The maschilah itself, however, you can't go and say, move it, because it's a dover kviusu. It is attached to the wall, attached to the roof. The ein regil la'okrim imokam la'mokam. It's not the type of thing that you could say, oh, move the maschilah away from here to there. That's stationary. It's the leader that you can go and talk about moving from one place to the other. The same thing is by the leader, you can talk about if it's oruch mekatzrei. If it's too long, you can say, you know, it's extending too far into my property. Please shorten it from a foot and make it only 6 inches. That makes a lot of sense. Maschilah, you can't go and be mekatzrei the maschilah. Maschilah is towards the whole length of the or the width of the house, underneath the ceiling, underneath the roof, that's something that you can't be mekatzer. And so therefore, the combination of the two cases works hand in hand very nicely by the marziv ein lo chazaka, because it's not stationary. maskila yesh lechazaka, because it's bikvius, it is stationary. Therefore, you can't compare the two. And there, the gabe the marzev, there you can ask him to go and shorten it. You can't ask him to shorten the maskila. As mishlam elamandi amahanak tarti shaper elamandi amar shim rotzel livnis tachdav boine. If you're talking about building a house underneath the leader, and now you're saying you cannot, you can build underneath the leader, however, you cannot build underneath the maschila. Why? Because the person has a 3-year chazak on it. My nafkalimina, why does he care if there is a binyan underneath the maschila or not? Who cares? Every time I'll tell you, Achim maschila shall binyan askinan. It's talking about the maschila is made out of stone or out of bricks. The omale lenichali the tisra ashi soy. So what does that mean? Explains the Rishba. Typically, the leaders were made out of wood. Since they're made out of wood, if somebody's constructing a building and making a lot of vibrations, it's not going to affect the wooden leader. However, if you are making this building and your maschila is made out of stone, then it the constant vibrations in the construction of the brand new, of your brand new binyan, those vibrations could cause problems for the maschila, and therefore if I've had my maschila there already for 3 years, then I have a chazaka, and you cannot go and start building in the immediate vicinity without my permission, because I'm afraid that the vibrations might harm and damage my maschila. So that's where we're going to stop over here, Rabbi Isai. Mitch, we're going to continue tomorrow morning at